Good morning. What a joy it is to see you. Randy Highsmith, Randy White, thank you. John, as always, thank you for your warm welcome. We are so very blessed to have John and Andrea here. John is one of our ministers, and he coordinates our mission efforts. And as was in the prayer, we wish them Godspeed as they travel to Guyana. John is the liaison between our missionaries in the field and our elders here, and he does a great job. And I love John and Andrea very much and are very thankful for what they mean to this congregation. I have a little sad news. This is Jordan Ralph's last Sunday. Jordan is going back to school. You can't fault him for that. He'll return to UT and work on his MBA. We wish him nothing but the very best in his studies. We're so blessed to have so many wonderful people who come through this congregation, and what an honor it is to not only know them, but how encouraging it is to be around them. So, Jordan, we love you, and we wish you the very best. North Jackson, this is for us. Let's make sure we look around and find people who are visiting us this morning, who are in the area, perhaps just passing through, or maybe looking for a church home. We hope and pray they found it when they've arrived here. So, let's remember what the Lord would do and how that the Lord said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And let's give everyone here a warm and cordial welcome. Why do we believe what we believe about gossip? Yeah, really. Why do we believe what we believe about gossip? Let's talk about it. Usually when you think of gossip, no offense, ladies, you think of women, but men gossip just as much and maybe worse. In one of my favorite episodes of Andy Griffith entitled Those Gossiping Men, Aunt Bee teaches Andy and Barney a lesson about gossiping. You may remember it opens up in Walker's drugstore, and Aunt Bee and Emma Watson and Clara Lindsay are all in there, and they're talking about this woman at church who colors her hair so that she can look younger, but she's really not younger. She's really a lot older. So they're having a good time gossiping about her. Andy comes in, and he's got to get some sulfa powders from Fred because Barney has scratched his finger cleaning his gun. Actually, when Barney shows it to Andy, you can't even see anything, but to Barney, it's catastrophic. And so once he leaves, of course, the ladies want to know the lowdown on it. And so Fred says, well, Barney scratched his finger while he was cleaning his gun. Well, by the time they get through spreading that story around Mayberry, it has gone from scratching his finger to cutting his finger to a serious injury to his finger to shooting himself, cleaning his gun, to actually dying. And so when the Undertaker comes over to the office and wants to offer help to Andy in burying Barney, Barney comes out and says, well, I'm very much alive. And so when Aunt Bee finally shows up, she's embarrassed, and Andy has a good time with her, and Aunt Bee says to herself, oh, I think men gossip too, and so she started spreading the rumor that this out-of-luck traveling shoe salesman who had come into Mayberry was really a talent scout for Manhattan Talent Show. And so Andy and Barney and everybody, all the men in town, they make a beeline to his hotel room, and there they perform for him. I mean, they bring in their bands. They bring in all their instruments. Barney, of course, on his harmonica. And they bring their children in there, and their children play all their instruments. And they're hoping that this man is going to find some talent in Mayberry and put it on TV and everything. And come to find out, he's really nothing more than a out-of-luck shoe salesman who just happens to be traveling through Mayberry. And so every time they perform for him, they buy one, two, three, four, five pairs of shoes. And so when the story ends, of course, the guy is leaving town and he's thanking Andy and Barney and all the others for buying so many shoes. And it dawns on them, this isn't a talent scout. This really is an out-of-luck shoe salesman who just happens to be traveling through Mayberry. And when Andy looks up, of course, Aunt Bee is right there watching him, and they all have a good laugh. But the truth is, we all gossip. We all have a problem with it, don't we? I think it was Minnie Pearl who once said, I never repeat gossip. I always listen the first time. And so it's true, whoever you are, and it's not just with our older adults, and that's including me, but it's even something that I think our young people deal with, especially with Facebook. Susan Sarandon, the actress, was telling recently the story of her 11-year-old daughter, and she had a sleepover, and she said the little girls that were there were talking about others who weren't there, and Sarandon said to her daughter, "Why can't we just not talk about people who aren't here?" And a little girl looked up at her and said, "Then what shall we talk about?" In other words, there's just really nothing to talk about if you can't talk about other people. You remember Dennis the Menace, the cartoon? He was whispering to one of his little friends on one occasion, "Now listen carefully. I'm only going to tell you this once because my daddy said don't repeat it." And so we're given to gossip, believe it or not. And it has been rumored that there were people who wanted me to talk about gossip. Not that I believe the rumors, but every now and then it's probably good for us to be reminded of just how powerful the tongue can be. I want to make four observations this morning very briefly. Number one, gossip is a sin. Who am I? I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts and ruin lives. I am cruel and malicious and gather strength with age. The more I am quoted, the more I am believed. I flourish at every level of society. My victims are helpless. They cannot protect themselves against me because I have no name and no face. To track me down is impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I'm nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it is never the same. I topple governments and ruin marriages. I destroy careers and cause heartache and sleepless nights. I wreck churches and separate Christians. I spawn suspicion and generate grief, make innocent people cry on their pillows. Even my name hisses. I am gossip. Someone once said, all the sins of the tongue are deadly. Profanity, insults, lying, negativity, complaints, and criticism are all harmful. Gossip is particularly a deadly sin. Gossip has destroyed more people, tarnished more reputations, broken more friendships, and split more churches than any sin I'm aware of. Gossip is quickly told, quickly heard, and quickly spread. Worst of all, gossip is quickly believed. People will confess to theft, adultery, even murder, but no one confesses to gossip. What is gossip? Purely and simply, I think we know. It's just talking about someone behind their backs. The Bible talks about backbiting, but it's talking about someone who isn't present. Random House defines it a little more precisely. Idle talk or rumor, especially about the personal or private affairs of others. Underscore that word idle because Jesus did in Matthew 12, verse 36. There are passages in the Bible that abound that teach us that gossip is a sin. For example, what about Exodus 20, verse 16? Go to the next slide, please. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. False can simply in the Hebrew mean empty or idle, similar to the word that Jesus used in the Greek. Leviticus 19, 16, you shall not go about as a tale bearer. That's a good New King James or King James Version word. In the New American Standard Version, it's translated slanderer in the ESV, in the NIV as well. A tale bearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. Slanderer, that's an interesting concept. To slander someone means to simply give a bad report about someone. Not long ago, Debbie Scales in Christian Woman magazine, and that's just not a magazine for women, guys. There's some wonderful articles in that magazine. Kathy has written some articles for that, Christy Cook and others, Christy's mom. Many others have written for that magazine, and it's a really good, thought-provoking magazine. But here's what she had to say about Leviticus 19:16. The title of her article was, "I Don't Mean to Gossip, But..." She took this verse and applied it to Israel in the first century, or rather, in centuries ago. Listen to what she wrote. This verse brings to mind the picture of a person making her way through the ranks of the already murmuring and unhappy Israelite travelers. As she goes up and down among the people, she whispers the latest news in the camp. Don't quote me on this, but I've heard that Moses may be on his way out. There are other men, you know, who could lead just as well as Moses anyway, probably better. And by the way, have you noticed how the Zerel family is always the first group out to gather manna every morning? I probably shouldn't even mention it, but there's no need to be greedy if you ask me. Oh, there goes those rambunctious Ezebel boys again. I do wish their parents would control them a little better. I don't like to talk about people, but the way they let the boys, their boys, behave is just a shame. It's hard to believe that gossip is that old, but really it goes back to when Satan whispered in Eve's ear, "You shall not surely die." And it's followed us all the way to the very end of the Bible. Have you ever noticed Romans chapter 1? We've read that many times about the sins of the Gentiles. Go to the next slide, please. I've got the verses up there before you, starting in verse 28. Just read them with me and notice what he says toward the end. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Underscore that. These things are not fitting. They're not appropriate. They're not right. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. Go get them, Paul. They are whisperers. The New American Standard Version says gossips and backbiters. The New American Standard Version translates that slanderers, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Gossip isn't bad. Gossip isn't that great a sin. Not to God. God lumps it in the same category with murder. He lumps it in the same category with hating God. Come on. Gossip is wrong. Gossip is a sin. When you think of gossip being slanderous, then you realize this is something God hates. He hates all sin, and he hates this one. But number two, gossip originates in the heart. Gossip, like any other sin, is an affair of the heart. Someone once said, life's an inside job. Get the heart right and everything else will follow suit. That's true. Our Lord said very clearly that gossip originates in the heart. Again, note the words of our Lord. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. So, in other words, we're known by what we say. We're known by what we do not say. We're known by what we do, what we do not do. It all originates inside our hearts. Brood of vipers, snakes in the grass. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you, listen to this. I don't care what you've heard before. I don't care what you've read before. I don't care what you've understood before. Our Lord says, but I say unto you, every idle, the New American Standard Version says careless, the NIV says empty, another translation says useless word men speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, better translated acquitted, not guilty, and by your words you will be condemned. Think of a court of law. Either my words will acquit me of my crimes, or they will condemn me of my crimes. But make no mistake about it, if the heart is bad, the words are going to be bad too. If the heart is evil, the words will be evil. If the heart isn't good, the fruit will not be good either. So this is a heart check. Let's go to the great physician. Let's have him examine our hearts. Let's make sure that our heart is pure, that out of a good and pure and wholesome heart will come good words, not destructive and evil words. When I think about words and the part they play in our salvation, I think of Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. Go to the next slide, guys. Because it is in that passage we understand that out of a good heart will come what is necessary or required of us in salvation. Listen, that if you confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe where? In your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I like that, don't you? For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So my confession of Jesus as Lord comes just out of my mouth? Is it just an idle speech? No, it comes out of my heart, a genuine heart, a real heart for our Lord. But notice this, that there are those words that we speak that can make a difference in whether we're saved or not. For example, if I say, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I need his forgiveness, that then will be a part of saving me. But if I stand up and I proclaim, I don't need God, I don't need anyone, I don't need Jesus, this is the only life I have, and I will do with it as I please, my words have not justified me or acquitted me in God's eyes, they have summarily condemned me. Words are just that powerful. There's a Yiddish folklore that tells a story of a young man who talked maliciously about a rabbi, an older man. And he spread rumors about this rabbi and really hurt the rabbi's reputation. But one day he had a turn of mind and heart, and he was sorry for what he had done. And he went to the rabbi and he said, Rabbi, I repent to you. I'm sorry. I've said things about you behind your back. I spread rumors about you. I know I've hurt your reputation. Please forgive me. I'm ready for my penance. And the rabbi said, I want you to take a pillow, and I want you to go, I tell you what, take two pillows. I want you to go to the middle of the town. I want you to take your knife, cut them open, and scatter the feathers everywhere, and then come back to me. Well, the man did just that. He took two pillows, went to the court square. People who were watching him thought he had lost his mind, ripped the pillows open, spread the feathers everywhere, went back to the rabbi and told him, I've done what you've told me to do. What's the lesson? And the rabbi said, let me tell you how destructive rumors and gossip can be. I want you to go back to the court square with those two pillows empty now, and I want you to gather every single feather you've scattered and put them back in those pillows. Can't be done. Someone once said you can't unring a bell. And once an arrow has been shot, it cannot be brought back. Gossip originates in the heart, so please, may God help each one of us this morning, me included, to look deeply within our hearts and know for sure Jesus is the Lord of our lives, and that out of our mouths come his praise, his glory, and the truth. Number three, gossip can destroy congregations. I know Alan Hires, who's preached the gospel all of his life, has seen this more than once. Randall Harris, who works with Fried Hardeman and does such a great job there with church relations, he's seen it. And Wayne Jackson, if he were here, and other gospel preachers, I know I'm missing some, and we're so honored to have them here, and other retired elders and deacons with us. You've seen it before. You know what happens. You know how it can destroy a congregation, and it can if it goes unchecked. And listen, I'm not up here preaching this morning about gossip because I'm singling out anyone. I know anything. I don't have any rumors. I don't have any dirt on anyone. I don't have anything juicy to tell you or to let you in on. I don't have anyone to reveal or rat out or embarrass. I'm not talking about any of that. We all do it. I do it. You do it. It's a problem. It's brotherhood wide. It's got to stop. And we can stop it. But I want you to know my prayer is that this church will be united, that we will be together, we'll be one. We're a family. And family has to get together, and sometimes family doesn't. Sometimes there are squabbles, and there are arguments, and there are things said that we regret, and you can't always get offended so easily in a family. You have to work things out, but you don't work them out by talking about one another behind each other's backs. Just doesn't work. The Bible says, go to the person. Just go directly to the person. That's what family does, and we're family. And so all of us have to work on a daily basis, not just to oppose gossip, not just to not chime in on gossip, but put gossip to an end. Close the book, stops here, doesn't go any further than this. Out of a good heart, a good man brings forth goodness out of his treasure. Mother Teresa once said, and I don't care if she did say it, it's right. Kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are truly endless. Instead of being cruel, being kind is the better approach. Paul worried about the congregation at Corinth because there was gossip and cliques and everything that could destroy that church. So Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20, "For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, that I shall be found by you as you do not wish, lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, slanderers, whisperings, gossips, conceits, and tumults." Notice that a congregation that is coming apart at the seams goes hand in hand with slander and with gossip. Come out of church on one Sunday, Mrs. Smith looked at her husband and said, "Did you notice that Mrs. Wisdom is coloring her hair?" And Mr. Smith looked at her and said, "No, I didn't really notice." And then she looked at him and said, "Did you notice that Mrs. Thankfulness had a dress that was entirely too short? Now, is that the appropriate way to dress when you're the mother of three?" And Mr. Smith looked at her and said, "No, I didn't really notice." And she looked at him and said, "You're no good to me at all. A lot of good it does you to go to church." Well, we go to church not to gossip. We go to church to glorify God Almighty, to praise Him, not bring Him down or destroy the people He loved for whom He died. Gossip can be relentless. There is the disease of Diotrephes. Do you remember him? Go to the next slide, guys. Diotrephes was a thorn in the side of the apostles. John wrote these words to the church. "But I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words." Meaning, he's spreading malicious nonsense or gossip about us. "And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. I'll guarantee you our elders have heard whispers." I'll guarantee you our elders have heard gossip. I'll guarantee you our elders have been slandered on more than one occasion. That's not good for anybody, certainly not the elders. We love them and appreciate them, even though sometimes we not always agree with them. But God put them where they are. And God has so ordained in His Word that they are to lead as godly and spiritual men, which they are. And aren't we blessed to have them? But there are too many Diotrephes in the Lord's church who simply want to run the church, who simply want it to be their way or the highway. And if it isn't the way they want it, they'll just leave and they hold that over your head. And before you know it, the church is in danger of splitting right down the middle. Go to the next slide. A perverse man stirs up dissension and a gossip separates close friends, Proverbs says. And then this statement by Carson Decker. In a few seconds, gossip can ruin a friendship that took years to build. Not only does gossip ruin friendships, gossip can do great harm to a church. People leave churches when they believe gossip. People leave churches when they have been wounded by gossip. Churches have split over gossip, started by a single person, like a Diotrephes. Proverbs 6:19 tells us that of the seven sins God hates, the sin God hates the most, stirring up dissension among his brethren. Gossip is wrong. It's a sin. Just like lying, just like drinking, just like abortion, just like murder, just like homosexuality. It originates in the heart. Clean up the heart, clean up the mouth. Number three, it can destroy the church. I love the church, don't you? I love this congregation. I love each and every person in this congregation. I don't want anyone to be hurt. I want all to feel they're welcome here. They're loved here. And most of all, they'll find the Lord here. They won't find a bunch of hypocrites. Finally, number four, gossip can be corrected. It can be defeated. It can be overcome. Go to the next slide, please. The Bible says we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Let me tell you, when we are in the midst of gossip, we're in the midst of rumor, we're in the midst of running someone else down, being critical of others. Listen, we're not bringing down rumors. We're not bringing down speculation or destroying it. We are bathing in it. We are reveling in it. And Paul said, that's why the church at Corinth was in desperate trouble. Instead of gossiping, slandering others, let's do this. Let's bring every thought, every word, every deed to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their deeds, that it may benefit those who listen. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Go to the next slide, please. Gossip can be stopped. There's a little acronym. You may have seen this before. It's very helpful. Just think of the word think. You thinking? All right? See what it says. Is it true? Is it harmless? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? If it isn't, don't repeat it. Maybe we need to jot this down and put it in the first or beginning or the opening of our Bibles. I don't know. Maybe you can remember that. It's helpful. I love what Paul says in Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth in love. Let me say that says three things. One, we've got to speak. Sometimes you have to speak. Sometimes we have to correct one another. But when we do so, may God help us to do it with the truth and most of all with love. And when you love someone, you don't talk about them behind their backs. You go to them and help them. I found this little poem, Wouldn't It Be Nice? Go to the next slide, guys. It's a little long, but indulge me for just a few minutes. Wouldn't this old world be better if folks we meet would say, I know something good about you, and then treat you that way? Wouldn't it be fine and dandy if each hand clasp, warm and true, carried with it this assurance, I know something good about you? Wouldn't life be lots more happy if the good that's in us all were the only thing about us that folks bothered to recall? Wouldn't life be lots more happy if we praise the good we see? For there's a lot of goodness in the worst of you and me. Wouldn't it be nice to practice that fine art of thinking too? You know, something good about me, I know something good about you. Where is my heart today? What is in my heart today? If the heart is good, Jesus said, it'll bring forth goodness. If it isn't, it'll bring forth that which is not good. You will know them by their fruits. People will know us by what we say and by how we act. This morning, how will people ever know that I'm a Christian if I've never confessed Jesus as the Lord of my life, the Son of God, and been baptized for the remission of my sins? How would anyone know that I've changed my behavior, even as a Christian, when I've not acted like one, I've not talked like one, I've not treated others like one? How will they ever believe I've changed if I'm not willing to humble myself and come forward and ask the church to forgive me and pray with me? It takes a lot of guts to admit your sins. It takes a lot of guts to sit up here and write down what's in your heart, have it read that all the world can hear, and hope that someone doesn't misjudge you. Hope that someone doesn't dig a little bit deeper just to understand exactly what sin you've done. That's not right. When someone comes to Jesus, that person comes to Jesus. He doesn't come to us. And Jesus loved us so much, he died for us. He let his actions do his talking. Now, what will we say by our actions while together we stand and sing?